celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking about an issue today that I believe is vital for us to grasp and understand and recognize and do something about it. I believe it's time that we open our eyes and open our ears and understand that Christianity is under assault in America today. The believer, the church, the believer of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ suffering persecution. And it should not be a surprise to us, because the Apostle Paul dealt with that issue in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
And it's we're being persecuted for Christ's sake, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Jim, Pastor I hope Davis. You're doing well.
Good morning.
Doing good. Good morning. The administration, the Biden administration, wanting to cancel free lunch programs there, they're using that law, Title IX, and Title IX has had its origins in racial discrimination, and the Supreme Court then adjudicated law by changing the definition of it without a new law being brought forth, you know, as a bill, then a resolution, or as a resolution, then a bill, then a law. And to me, that was a perversion of the original law as it was. I believe that they do not want to accept Christ, that they are doing everything they can in their power to use any legislation that they can find to persecute the church as a whole.
That's exactly right, Jim. And one of the things, you go back to Title IX, it was to prevent there being any type of discrimination based on race, creed, or religion. And they've taken that race, sex, or religion, they've taken the sex now, and they've changed that to sexual orientation. And the sexual orientation or gender identity is very, very fluid. In fact, those in the sodomite lifestyle, the sodomite agenda, making up less than 2% of Americans today, and yet they carry the weight with 98% in most of the state houses and the D.C. Beltway. They carry more weight than the average Christian, the average church, or average pastor, anybody that's moral, ethical, and spiritual, because it's a battle, a demonic battle against God. It's a battle between Christ and Satan being played out in the hearts and the lives of human beings. And we find that it is very, very real. That persecution is real. And we find today with that persecution taking place perhaps more than at any time in the history of America. And it's yet if a parent were to take a stand against the critical race theory, if a parent were to take a stand against the LGBTQIP sodomite agenda in the public schools, now they're being deemed as a domestic terrorist. It is a threat against anything that's called spirituality and Christianity in America. It is an attempt to undermine. In fact, in Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that is a question that begs to be asked, demands to be answered, even today, Jim.
Agreed. Yeah, that's correct there. You're labeled a domestic terrorist Garrick Marlin, that warned you about, right?
Yes.
Garrick, yeah. Well, I'm one of those two. And I'm also an infidel that Allah warned you about, but that's either here or there, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tragedy if they would just open their eyes and see the world for, you know, that man can't rule man without Jesus Christ. It just not going to happen. There's just too much evil in men's heart. You know, they're going to take and subvert that and use it against, and anybody that speaks truth, they are going to silence them and suppress them in any way they can. It's just
one of the major things that I find so disingenuous, if a sodomite were to claim being maltreated, mistreated, or in any way discriminated against in the governmentally controlled educational system or even in the workplace, then all of a sudden every tentacle of the law in any fashion comes against anyone that's supposed to have done them wrong. But when it comes to Christianity and spirituality, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there seems to be no recrimination. There seems to be no attempt by the federal and state governments to do any investigatory work. For example, our churches today are open sitting ducks with this woke cancel culture today.
Amen.
And just
Amen.
Yesterday, as I touched on just a moment ago, in that Alabama church where there was an attack on the church services, two killed, and the assailant is in custody. But what the world perhaps does not know, what the nation is not talking about, is the fact that since 1999, we've had over 2,000 church and school shootings since 1999. The overwhelming preponderance of those shootings have been in churches. But when you hear of a school being shot, either one's bad, but when you hear that taking place, then all of a sudden the world is coming to an end. We've got to control all weapons, take all guns, cancel all Bill of Rights, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing is generally done on maybe a 24-hour news cycle when a church is shot or somebody in a church is shot. But when it comes to the schools, there's a vast difference in the mindset, the mentality. And that's the cause of that is, the rationale behind that is that Christians – I can use this liberty. It seems to me that Christians deserve to be shot because they're so narrow-minded, they're so dumb and ignorant because they follow Jesus Christ, and they believe that Jesus is the only way, so therefore we Christians are the ones that's in the way causing the problems today. That's the way it's viewed by a secularistic society, and it's sad, but that brings about the onslaught of additional persecution and prosecution of Christians. But I say to every caller and to every listener, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
There's coming
Amen.
A day, Pastor Davis, very, very soon, when the church is going to be raptured out of this old world. And when that takes place, the Holy Spirit of God is withdrawn from the world, because the Christian is the residue, is where the Holy Spirit of God resides.
Amen.
And as a result of the Christian being taken out, then the power of the Holy Spirit of God is removed from this old earth. There's no more salt, no more light, and all chaos is going to break loose in the world then. And I'm glad that I won't be here, Jim. I'm thankful for you and for your relationship to the Lord, and I'm thankful for each of our listeners that's taken the stand of saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. Even though it brings persecution and prosecution, we need to recognize that Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, that if the world hates you, remember it hated me first.
Amen.
If the world's going to persecute you, remember it persecuted me first. And so we need to be encouraged with those words. But Jim, thank you so much for your call, brother.
Thank you
for your input.
God bless both of you, gentlemen,
today.
God bless you.
I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
I'd like to wish you a happy Father's Day, since
Thank
I won't be able
so
to be
much.
There to take you out to lunch.
Thank you. Well, I think it's worth the 10-hour drive to come take Pop out for lunch.
No problem at all. You just hop on a little Cessna 172 and knock it out in 2 or 3 hours, right?
That's right.
That'd be nice.
If we could get in the cockpit of that plane, we could be in about 3 hours and it's over.
That'd be all right.
Well, happy Father's Day to you too, openly. Yes.
Thank you so much. You know, as you discuss these things, we need to realize, and I'll say it again, neutrality is a myth. Someone's worldview will be dominant. Someone's worldview will prevail. For 400 years, you had a predominantly Christian worldview that prevailed throughout the colonies and then into the United States of America. If the Christian worldview prevails, then an individual can choose to be a Christian or choose not to be a Christian. They can choose to be an atheist. They can choose to be a Buddhist, a Muslim, Confucius, right on down the list under a Christian worldview. Under a Muslim worldview, that doesn't work. If a Christian confronts a person, whether they be involved in 10,000 other sins or one of the LGBTQIAP, that will be identified as a sin. Isn't that just horrible? But if the other worldview prevails, calling that a sin will be called a hate crime, and you may spend jail time.
That's right.
You understand? Capitalism and communism cannot coexist. Under capitalism, if you choose to want to act like a communist, you can go and do that. But if communism prevails, capitalism disappears. And so also atheism prevails, because under communism, the state must be the supreme power. Therefore, Christianity is not acceptable. It's not tolerable. Please go anywhere where communism has completely taken over, i.e. China, and tell me if Christianity is embraced or if they are jailed. So we must realize that as believers, we have a responsibility to be salt and light, to engage in the discourse, engage in wherever God places us. If God places us as a police officer or as a judge or as a clerk or as a pastor, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Right on. We must use the Bible standard and not the world standard. The Bible standard and not the communism standard. The Bible standard, not the LGBTQIAP standard. And it breaks my heart to see believers, and particularly pastors, that refuse to take a stand because they're afraid that they're going to hurt feelings. I've a question for you. Which is worse, that a person's feelings be hurt, or that they spend an eternity in a place called hell? Which is worse?
Mm-hmm. And, couldn't say it better.
Amen.
I appreciate you and both of you. Happy Father's Day. Have a great weekend coming up, and I'll let you continue your dialogue.
Thank you so much, Greg. Before you go, let me introduce you in case you have a listener that does not know. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg. Greg lives up in the southern tip of heaven. That's northeast Tennessee. Greg, what's the weather like there today? He's gone. Thank you. He jumped out. ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is so vital for us to understand, and that is Christian persecution, Christianity under assault. That's what we're finding today. I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis, "No Arrest Made in Attacks Against Pro-Life Churches, the PCRs Across the 12 Blue States." Let me just read a brief statement here from this article, and just heard on the top of our headline news that they've just opened up and started some type of investigatory work on these pro-life Christian church organizations. During the current eruption of attacks against churches and other pro-life organizations that have happened in the last 7 weeks, a clear majority have taken place in states controlled by Democrat administrations. Out of the 52, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, out of the 52 incidents of violent attacks that have occurred against pro-life churches, pregnancy resource centers, organizations, property, and individuals across the country since a draft of the Supreme Court opinion that could potentially overturn Roe versus Wade was leaked May the 2nd, 34 have taken place in states under Democratic leadership. These 34 incidents have transpired in California, Colorado, District of Columbia, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Washington State, and Wisconsin. The attorney generals in all 12 of these jurisdictions are all Democrats. The Washington Stand, that's a publication, the Washington Stand has found no record of any arrest being made related to any of these incidents. On May 22nd, the Puget Sound anarchist publicly claimed responsibility for vandalizing four separate churches in Olympia, Washington, with pro-abortion slogans. Despite this, no arrests have been made regarding all of these incidents. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the very forefront of what we're talking about today. The very fulcrum of the conversation and discussion is that we have Christians under persecution and under assault today. Pastor Davis, from a Christian pastor's perspective, the question that Ezekiel asked in Ezekiel 33:10 that I've used thousands of times publicly and from the pulpit, how should we then live? Understanding that Christian educators, Christian students, Christian educators, for example, teachers and professors are being demeaned, being subject to being arrested and are fired from their jobs if they use the wrong pronouns. If a student, as a Christian student, were to say anything about Jesus or anything about conservative theological beliefs or political beliefs, they're systematically removed. In our military today, we're watching the Christians and conservatives and those that voted for Trump being processed out of military, charged with some flimsy excuse to get them out of military. All of those are in the big picture of Christian assault, assaults on Christianity and persecution. So how should we live, Pastor? What are your thoughts biblically? What do you see as an answer to that for our listeners?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, in spite of all that we see happening, we need to know that none of this should catch us by surprise, because as you said earlier, Jesus gave us indication in the word that if they hated him, they're going to hate us also. Mm-hmm. If they persecuted him, we're going to be persecuted also. So we have to realize that each time we open up the Bible, it will provide us with answers to the things that we are seeing that's happening before our very eyes. When I went to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says here, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." Mm-hmm. We're seeing this happening.
That's right.
So now again, we're reading the answer right here coming from the word of God.
Right.
So we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, we shouldn't be sitting there like our boots are shocked off.
That's right.
Because the word of God has already forewarned us that these things are going to happen. Now, three more verses I want to put in here. Verse number 16, he says, "They profess that they know God." Mm-hmm. Going back to what the young man said about Nancy Pelosi, saying she was a devout Catholic.
Yes.
But she supports abortion.
That's right.
There is no way that you can do that as a Christian, believer. When the scripture tells
us,
amen, that God despises when another man takes another man's life.
Right.
So he said, "They profess that they know God." This is still Titus 1, verse 16. "But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate."
Yes.
That's what we are saying right here. Christianity involves good works. Mm-hmm. What we are doing because we love God, and we know that we should obey his word, because his word says that it is right.
Right.
God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Book of 1 Peter, you'll find it in there.
Absolutely.
So all we have to do is stick with the word of God. But now, our stand should be as Christian leaders and as Christians in general. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Mm-hmm. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine."
That's right.
"For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables."
And we're watching that.
We
take
have
place
the word.
Today. Absolutely.
We have it right there. That's the answer. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't expect the people in Washington or anywhere else who are not true believers to do right when they don't know Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. So we'll keep watching.
God
that
holds us to the highest standard.
That's right.
We as believers, as leaders, as believers in general, mm-hmm. as pastors, any position that you might hold in the church, he holds you to the highest standard. So it is your oath and obligation. You signed up for this.
That's right.
Can I say
that? When you said yes to Jesus.
You signed up for this. So now what you have to do is take a firm stand on the word of God, knowing and realizing, can I say it like Nehemiah said it? Our God shall fight for us.
Nehemiah 4:20, absolutely.
Amen.
I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with your question or comment, please.
I just want to say amen. I was listening to what he was saying. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Knocking it out of the park again. So are you, Dad. And happy Father's Day to you both. I think we keep coming up with that word. It keeps repeating, taking a stand, taking a stand. It's interesting. And,
yes.
Ephesians chapter 6, it starts off saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
Amen.
And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It says, bondservants or workers, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master, capital M, master, talking about God, also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
A lot of people break it right there, but they skip verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As a police officer retired after 25 years, I can tell you the most important piece of equipment I had on my belt was a radio that I could talk to HQ and say, send me help. Send me air unit. Send me the canine unit, dive team. Send me everything you got, HQ. We have the ability to take a stand because we have direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ as our mediator, who's forgiven us of our sins and given us direct access to the Father who has the power. Amen. If we would pray, get on our knees, confess our own sins, accept what Jesus has done for us and his payment for us, and turn back to him, he can do all things. He can
Amen.
Do all
Amen.
Things. There's some folks that have already given up. Okay, oh well, there you go. There are some folks who pretended to be on the team. If I put on a Jaguars football uniform, not that I would pick that team in anyway, but if I were to put on the football uniform and go down and sit on the bench, I might look like one of the players. Am I on the team? No. There are some folks who have sat in churches and they think that that's enough to get them into heaven. And the problem with them taking the stand is they're not even on the team yet. They've been play acting so long, they think they're on the team, but they won't take a stand. They won't take a stand on the job because, oh, they might lose their job. Well, God bless America. If God gave you that job, he'll give you another job. Take a stand. How many times in these few verses did it say take a stand? You know what? It didn't actually say charge the enemy with a sword. It said take a stand, stand up for what's right. If we're praying to our God the Father, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, okay, he fights for us if we'll just take a stand. But we got to be on the team first.
Amen. You touched on the key. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is another one of our four sons. This is Glenn. Glenn, happy Father's Day to you also. I am so thankful for you and for your brothers and your stand for Jesus, your stand for truth, your stand for righteousness, and willingness to do battle with the enemy out there each and every day. And you're touching on it, Glenn, because the thing that we need to do, the answer, the total answer to the persecution, the prosecution, the assault against Christianity today is, first of all, we need to pray. We need to pray. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be prepared. You just touched on it very clearly and very eloquently. We need to be prepared. And in Ephesians 6:12 and following, the preparation is putting on the whole armor of God.
Amen. Amen.
And Glenn, I think you would agree with me, and perhaps our listeners may not understand that. When they study the Ephesians text and about the whole armor of God, as you look at that text, there's about seven parts of the whole armor. And in the seventh part of the whole armor, in verse 18 of that sixth chapter, praying always with all prayer and supplication
Amen.
In the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Mm-hmm. It is we put on the armament, we take a stand, and when Glenn, and for our listening audience, in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. And that has the idea of your feet having cleats on them, if you will, and you stand without bowing, without bending, without turning, without running, and you stand and face the enemy, having armored up. And I am so thankful for that illustration, because it is so needful and necessary in today's society as Christianity is under attack.
Amen.
Glenn, thank you so much for your comments. Thank you for your joining the broadcast today, and thank you for your interest in what believers need to be doing today is standing. Hug the family for me. And again, thank you so much. God bless you, and have a happy Father's Day.
I've got Tammy and Abby with me, and Katie by phone to wish you a happy Father's Day as well.
Thank you so much. Hey,
happy Father's Day, Dad. We're thankful for you and thankful for the stand that you take to show others the way to go. And we are just blessed that we have you as our Dad, father in love, Papa, and we're proud of you and thankful for you.
Thank you so much for that, Tammy. Thank you. And Glenn, did you say Katie's there?
We had her by phone, but she had to go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that well-wishing, and we're looking forward to seeing you on Father's Day, Lord willing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the assault against Christianity. We've got about 1 minute. You have time for getting a quick 2 cents worth, 831-0917, if you'd like to join us. Pastor Davis, you got any final words or statements or challenges for our listeners today?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, in the mindset of the first century church, when we look at that word believers, that didn't just carry the understanding of someone that just believed in Jesus just because they heard him.
Mm-hmm.
But they acted upon that belief.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing today as believers in Christ, whether you are a leader or whether you are a lay member. If you are a believer, you ought to act upon that belief.
That's right.
So then what we need to do is stand firm upon the word of God. Don't let nothing turn you away.
Amen.
From the love of God. Amen. Because, amen, God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can trust and depend on him. I've never known him to go back on his word.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. And for all of our fathers out there, may you have a happy, blessed Father's Day. Looking forward to joining on the air once again as we face the issues.
FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.